from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is Kennedy Classics. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Hello, I'm Frank Wright. Welcome to Kennedy Classics. I want to invite you to check out our website at djkm.org, where you can find a rich array of digital, audio, video, and print resources, all from a biblical perspective. Fear has many faces. Sometimes our basis for it is very logical. Every child injured by inappropriately touching something hot or sharp learns a rational fear based upon experience. Fear can also be quite visceral, having a paralyzing effect. The phrase frozen with fear encapsulates this idea well. So also with the so-called fight or flight reflex, generated by that sudden surge of adrenaline that accompanies loud noises and startling surprises. The phrase heart-stopping well describes such bodily reactions. Oddly, though, fear can also be somewhat irrational in that it may not have a logical or experiential basis, yet nevertheless produces an overwhelming emotional response. In children, we see this in their separation anxiety and in the sudden onset of fearfulness with strangers. In the same way, adults often suffer a powerful emotional fear in the contemplation of some unknown present or future circumstance. Our compassionate and all-seeing God knows this very well, and the psalmist reminds us of it. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with his message, Conquering Fear.
And now may we hear the word of God as it's found in the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Jesus has taken his disciples and thousands of others across the Sea of Galilee where he has fed them, and now they are to return. Verse 45, the inspired word of the living God. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And may God speak to us through this portion of his holy word, and may his name ever be praised. America is in the grip of an epidemic of fear, an epidemic which is broadening and deepening each day. Now, fear, as McCartney said, is man's enemy number one. It was the first result of sin and is always the shadow of man's sin. Man never knew what fear was until sin came. And then, having heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, he was now afraid and went and hid himself among the trees of the garden. And We are experiencing a great deal of fear today. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Fear of bombs and planes and anthrax and who knows what next. So what shall we say about this epidemic of fear? I am reminded of how it must have been elsewhere some time ago, at a time that most of us gave no thought at all to because it was far away from us. I'm thinking of the year 1940. Most Americans went blithely about their business, unconcerned. Oh, yes, there was a war in Europe, but that was thousands of miles away and did not involve us. The great military machine of Hitler had crushed virtually all of Europe in a short time. And finally, the British decided to enter the fray, and they sent their army across the English Channel to invade France and to turn back the Hun. However, the world was shocked to see that the mighty military machine of Germany virtually crushed the British, drove them back and back to Dunkirk and into the sea, where happily many of them were saved by ships and taken home with their tails between their legs. They had been whipped, but good. And now the English people waited. We weren't concerned, but they were terrified. It was coming. It was inevitable that that great war machine would amass and cross the channel and unleash its power on the little island of England, which now stood all alone. There was a hotel by the white cliffs of Dover, which overlooked those threatening waters. It was called the Hind's End, or the Hind's Head, rather, Hotel. And at this time, when the fear in England was as thick as the fog, they had carved into the top of the entranceway into that hotel these words. And they are some of my favorites. I hope they'll be yours. I hope you'll carve them into the walls of your mind as well. If you came to that hotel, which looked out over those waters, and every day and every night and early in the morning, they peered through their windows, waiting, waiting, waiting. Fear knocked. Faith answered. No one was there. In that circumstance, that was pure faith and bravery. No one ever came. Astonishing. Fear knocked, faith answered. No one was there. And that's the way it is with most all of our fears. Fear is interest paid on a debt that you'll probably never owe. But people pay it every day as if they did. No, fear can be overcome. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ has delivered those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Christ delivers from fear. Has he delivered you from fear? Paul tells us that the last enemy to be feared is death. Did you ever stop to think that so very, very much of what goes on in this world is all because of the fear of death? Hundreds of billions of dollars are spent every week simply because of the fear of death on doctors and nurses and hospitals and clinics, on pharmacies and on policemen and firemen and courts and prisons and hundreds of other things, which are all there because of our fear of death. All other fears are just pale imitations of that great fear, the fear of death. And Christ can deliver us from that. Well, one wag didn't quite agree with that. He said that according to most people, it seems that public speaking is the number one fear in this country. Well, I'm sure there's some of you that might believe that. Of course, I certainly do. Well, what is the antidote to fear? The venom of a serpent has an antidote. What is the antidote to fear? The antidote, very clearly, is faith. And the secret to faith comes from the Word of God. For our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the Word of God, of course, beginning with the gospel, is a source of deliverance from our fears. When William James, the great author and writer, was professor of philosophy at Harvard, he said this: "Of course, the sovereign cure for worry, another form of fear, is religious faith." William James. Not only that, but not long ago, the president of the American Psychiatric Association said this, referring to Freud, and as you know, Freud was extremely hostile to religion. He was quite anti-religious. He was also neurotic. He said, "One wonders," said the president of the American Psychiatric Association, "how long the hoary errors of Freud will continue to plague psychiatry." Well, they have been, for the most part, abandoned today. One of the great revolutions that has taken place in faith is that now psychiatry and psychology, for the most part, recognizes that religion is extremely good for you. And the evidence for that continues to pile up from one test after another. Interestingly, I'm told that the Bible contains 365 fear nots. Now, to save you the trouble of going home and looking up and counting all of those, let me tell you, I didn't. But I read that that is true. I did notice that there are over 500 references to fear and afraid in the Bible, but 365 fear nots. Here is one of those where Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And you'll notice they were out in the middle of a lake, the Sea of Galilee. The waves were ferocious, the wind was beating, the ship was about to sink. And what he said was simply, "It is I." He didn't do anything. He just said, "I'm here." That's all it takes to realize that if Christ is here and Christ is with you, there is nothing that's going to come to you but that he is not going to turn unto your own good. Even death itself is overcome by him who could walk out of a tomb on that Sunday morning. This one who could say, "I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And You that trust in me shall live also. Only Christ has conquered death. No founder of any pagan religion has ever been seen or heard from since they died. But Christ conquered the tomb, conquered the king of terrors, conquered fear itself. And we who trust in him need not be afraid. What a difference it is when you come to face death, whether you're a believer in Christ or not. May I say to you, it makes all the difference in the world. Caesar Borgia, a famous writer and politician and ungodly man, said this: when I lived, I provided for everything except death. Now I must die, and I am unprovided to die. Hobbes, the atheist, said, I am taking a fearful leap into the dark. Thomas Scott, the skeptic, said, until this moment I thought there was neither a God nor a hell, and now I know and feel that there are both, and I am doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty. Thomas Paine, at first one of our great patriots, and then he expressed his unbelief in the book The Age of Reason, which was a book where he derided the Christian faith and denied it. He sent a pre-publication copy to Benjamin Franklin, who said to him, by all means, do not publish this book. It will be your ruination. But in the stubborn folly of his unbelief, he published it. He entered into instant disgrace. His life went right over the precipice. He became so persona non grata in America that he had to flee these shores. And in England and obscurity and disgrace, he ended his life. Tom Paine at last came to that place that we all come to. He was dying, and he said this: I would give worlds if I had them, if the Age of Reason had never been published. O Lord, help me. Christ, help me. You stay with me. It is hell to be left alone. And he died, and he was right. Hell is to be left alone in pain forever. P.T. Barnum, the great circus magnate, said these words in his final moments just before he stepped into eternity. He was, of course, an unbeliever. And he said, how are the circus receipts today? And he stepped into eternity. He's the one who said, there's a fool born every minute. He was right, and he was one of the biggest. He was totally unprepared. It's interesting when you put in juxtaposition the last words of unbelievers with the last words of believers, the gulf between them is so vast that it cannot possibly be missed. For example, Mirabeau, the unbeliever, said, give me laudanum that I might not think of eternity. While David Brainerd, the missionary, said, I am going into eternity, and it is sweet to me to think of eternity. Voltaire, one of the most caustic, voluble, brilliant unbelievers, said this: I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell. Last words. And then he did. Alfred Krupp, the great manufacturer of munitions, said, physician, I will give you $1,000,000 if you can prolong my life 10 years. He was rather penurious. Queen Elizabeth grabbed her physician by the sleeve and pulled him down over her bed and said,
half of the British Empire for 6 months of life. He could not give her 6 minutes. And she died. While on this side of the Atlantic, George Washington, the Christian president, said, "Doctor, I am dying, but I am not afraid." And he folded his hands over his chest and said, "'Tis well," and died. William Randolph Hearst, the rather despotic newspaper magnate, said this, "Death is not to be discussed in my presence." And through the latter part of his life, it never was. But though he could forbid its discussion, he could not forbid its reality. And the King of Terrors came at length, despite his denial, despite his commandment, and snatched him away. While Michelangelo, perhaps one of the greatest artists that ever lived, said this, "I die in the faith of Jesus Christ and in the firm hope of a better life." While in France, Talleyrand, the revolutionary, said, "I am suffering the pangs of the dead." While across the ocean in America, Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist, said, "Earth is receding. Heaven is opening. It is my coronation day." What a vast difference between the death of a believer and the death of the unbeliever. And those last words can be multiplied 100 times over, and they're always the same. Yes, dear friend, we can have a faith that conquers fear. We can, when fear comes and fear knocks, faith can open and discover that no one is there. You can stop paying interest on a debt you don't owe. All other things are but preludes to the fear of death. And so conquering that, you conquer all. I told a number of years ago, those that were here then, that I had an experience of being in a plane where they thought the wheels were halfway down and they had to crash land the plane, and we went through the whole thing of taking off your shoes and glasses and putting your head down and all of that, and women were screaming and wailing and crying, and people were scared to death, and there was a Christian across the aisle that I knew, and I was talking to her, and I said, "Isn't it wonderful to know Jesus Christ and to know that whatever happens, he's here with us, and that we can rejoice in his presence. I am here," he said. And the man sitting next to me, white-knuckled, said, "How can you talk like that? We may die in the next few minutes." And I said, "Dear friend, if the plane goes down, I go up to be with the Lord. What is there to fear? Heaven is opening. Christ has conquered death and the grave. He has walked out of the tomb and said, 'I am alive forevermore.' And you can live also if you trust in him. Invite him to walk into your heart this day, to take away your fears, to fill you with faith and with rejoicing. He said, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid.'" You can either be filled with fear, or you can be filled not with nothing, but with cheer. What is your heart like these days? Which fills your mind? If Christ is with you, That's all you need. There is nothing too hard for him. Yes, fear not. Faith answered. No one was there. May we pray. Lord Jesus, be with us all, we pray. Should there be any here this hour that do not personally know thee, I don't mean a mere head knowledge, but a heart experience of your grace and salvation, who cannot say, I know that I have been born anew by Christ, I have become a new creature in him, I have been redeemed, I am saved by his blood, and I belong to him. I am on my way to paradise. If anyone here does not know that and cannot in truth say that, may they say to thee, O Christ, Lord Jesus, blessed conqueror of death, come into my heart, banish my fears, forgive my sins, which are the cause of fear, and cause me to rejoice in the blessed assurance of thy presence and eternal salvation. In thy name, amen.
If you just prayed that prayer with Dr. Kennedy, let me be the first to welcome you to the family of God. And if fear has been part of your past, you can leave it behind today. We want to help you by sending you the book, Beginning Again. As you read about the life of Jesus and what he did for you, you'll gain an understanding of God's love and kindness towards you. It's our gift to you when you write and ask for it by name. That's Beginning Again. Just write to our address or call our toll-free number. God bless you as you do.
When fear knocks, is it faith that answers in your life? Would you like a copy of this message to encourage you in times of doubt or to share with a friend or loved one who needs the great antidote to the venom of fear, which is faith and trust in Jesus Christ? We'd be delighted to send you a copy on DVD or CD as our thanks for your generous donation toward the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11164, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 888-332-3069, or go online to djkm.org. And please include a generous gift to the ministry. I'm Frank Wright. Thank you for joining us on Kennedy Classics. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.